Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, nope. The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Great Lucas.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Is it cool to be gay?
Nope.
Did he make us straight?
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today?
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
Is a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
Is a broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gon' change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Do you see any police?
Yep.
Wanna get shot down?
Nope.
You remember Mike Brown?
Yep.
You ever read your Bible?
Nope.
You wanna know your job?
Yep.
You know you more than a slave?
Nope.
Don't you wanna be saved?
Yep.
You ever been baptized?
Nope.
Wanna get in that water?
Yep.
Ever confess your sins?
Nope.
Ready to lift your hands?
Yep.
Amen.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Gonna choose the Most High or Satan?
To choose,
whose light to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yep.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yep.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yep.
Will
the wicked gonna burn?
Will we ever get our turn?
You
got to
choose
one. Who you gonna choose the most? I or Caesar? Choose the side to choose from. You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
Alright. You gonna learn today. Alright.
Gonna learn today. All right. Shalom, and good morning. Baruch HaTuvav in the Paleo Hebrew. Shalom, Israel, to the 12 tribes worldwide. Greetings. What's going on? Yahweh Bahashem, Yahweh Shai Baruch HaTuvav. To all the families of the Israelites, scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, and to the brothers and sisters of the Israelites, in the Western Hemisphere, to the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, similar Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans. Those people of so-called Native, Hispanic, and Black descent, shalom. You are actually members, descendants, ancestors of the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel. Shalom. You've reached the ISBHPK sponsored Bible Talk. ISBHPK is a network of schools called the Israelite Schools of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, with school locations in San Antonio, Texas, located at 4444 Walsham, under the tutelage of the brother Awana Iyer, and also the brother Shamshwan and the brother Dawiyad Niyawa Aponga down here in San Antonio. We have school locations in Houston, Texas, being held down by the brothers, excellent brothers, doing an excellent job out there of mentoring, of raising up and dealing with the families and helping raise up Israel in a proper way, and raising up bishops and deacons under the brother Kwakazap and the brother Lakwarab, and all the brothers and sisters and families out there doing a great job there in Houston. Also, without saying, the brother Kizakia and the brother Aria doing an excellent job out there in Norfolk, Virginia. Again, raising up the saints of Israel, and the young brother who's coming in and is a dynamic, charismatic, very intellectual, very, very wise brother, the brother Zion Allah. Holding things down there in Rochester, New York, doing an excellent job. The faith of these brothers, the faith of these families, the love that they have. In St. John chapter 13, verse 35, when it says, "By this all may know you are my disciples, when they see the love you have one for another." To look at how these families and brothers operate, it really is refreshing. It's inspiring in how they get down and what they do. And the level of dedication they have for the Most High in Christ, and trying to really teach true righteousness, and really trying to bring the righteousness of the Bible, and relate it back to us as Hebrew Israelites, as we prepare for the return of our Lord and Savior, the last Savior that's going to be needed for the nation of Israel, who the world calls Jesus Christ, who we say in our dialect in Hebrew, Yahweh Shai. They're doing an excellent job. We have a website that is established at isbhpk.com. That's isbhpk.com. Which has links to Chosen Creations, Sweet Ambiance, and also Israelware, which are several businesses that are being ran almost like FUBU, for us, by us. To help employ Hebrew Israelites from brothers, sisters, young men. Again, Chosen Creations, Sweet Ambiance, and Israelware. We also have here in San Antonio, Eastern Fragrances, located at Rolling Oaks Mall, as well as they have a movie company here in San Antonio. If you need anything moved, they have a movie company established, and you can reach them again at Bullingo Small. A job just trying to keep this word out. But here at isbhpk.com, we invite you to please check out the website, especially as we prepare for the upcoming Passover, right? Especially as we prepare for the upcoming Passover, which we'll be observing April 9th, right? April 9th. Starting at 4:30 p.m. Through 11 o'clock p.m. In Newport News, Virginia, this year, at the, if I'm saying this right, I might not be saying this right, I believe it's the Dochiki, D-O-C-H-I-K-I, the Dochiki Club, located at 2705 Chestnut Avenue, Newport News, Virginia, zip code 23607. You want to go ahead and make your reservations now. if you go to the website, isbhbk.com, click on the link there they have for the RSVP for the Passover celebration that's going to be in Norfolk this year. Go and click and let it be known that you will be making it. Make those reservations so you can get the numbers of how many you prepare for. And I also want to get your reservations for your airline tickets, train tickets, travel plans, I'll say like that. And also if you want to try and get an Airbnb or whatever to observe the Passover. This year in Newport News, Virginia, April 9th, starting at 4:30 p.m., all right? And more so, they've been asking to promote this more and more, so let me pull this up a little bit. The link at isbhpk.com for Chosen Creations. Chosen Creations, brothers and sisters, is, wow, how do I describe this? If you need any metal, any wood, any leather, any glass engraved, if you would like to have like a family shield, a family crest, or it is Hebrew Israelite decoration, or whatever you can think of that you want engraved in metal, wood, glass, leather, or what have you, as a plaque or something for the house, something detailed for your car, or some personal jewelry, you want to check out Chosen Creations. At the recent Hebrew Summit, I was able to actually see them making the actual ornaments and jewelry to where, like, if you have from bracelets to charms to engraved, the Ten Commandments engraved in metal, different types of metal, from brass to silver to gold, brass finishes or whatever, and they can actually engrave the actual Ten Commandments in the Paleo Hebrew, in ancient Hebrew, on metal. And you can have this as an ornament in your house. If you like, I myself, and thank you to the brother Kazakia, I got an ephod made. The ephod represents the birthstones of the 12 tribes of Israel that the high priest wore, that Aaron the high priest wore on his chest when he was officiating and doing the actual office of the high priest of Israel. And it's called the ephod. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 23, if I have the chapter correct. That has the 12 tribes on it. And he's got the 12 tribes, the ephod on the front, he's got the 12 stones of the tribes. And then on the back, he's able to put a menorah with my name in ancient Hebrew. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. They can get this done for you. If you think about it and you want something, they can definitely get it done. It's amazing the work they're doing. And the website is, I'm reading here. They just sent it to me. The actual website, the direct website to get to them is www.etsy, Etsy, www.etsy.com/shop/chosen creations. ChosenCreations.com, all right? Chosen Creations, S.com, S.C. Shop items by Chosen Creations, .com. All right, go and check it out. Man, let me pull this up. Let me go ahead and pull this up. It's Etsy, E-T-S-Y, Etsy. Let me see if I can do this on my computer. It's my first time doing it, y'all. And I should be a little bit more prepared. I do apologize. I'm just going to do a Google search for Etsy Chosen Creations, see if it comes up. Yes, Chosen Creations Store, Etsy. It's the first thing that comes up. It's the first thing that comes up. I'm clicking on it. Let me do it like this, y'all. This ain't coming up. Hold up. This ain't coming up. This has a broken link. Let me do it like this. I want to share this. I definitely want to share this. Let me get a few minutes, y'all. I'm going to do this proper. Give me just a few minutes. Let me get this here. Real quick. I got it, y'all. Yeah. If you go to Etsy, ChosenCreations.com. Now you gotta go put Etsy, Etsy, ChosenCreations.com. All right, and it'll bring you to the site. And while I'm looking at some of this, and this is simply amazing. They have a children's corner. They have jewelry and ornaments for children. They have the Israelite nation. They have wooden signs. This is wow. They have silver bracelets, very masculine silver bracelets, for the royal priesthood that's got the actual Ten Commandments on a bracelet, in the ancient Hebrew. That is wow. That is amazing. They have custom made, standards for the Ten Commandments in wood. Look at this. Let me pull this up. Wow. It's the Hebrew alphabet. I don't even know how to say it to y'all. It's the ancient Hebrew alphabet on a wooden plaque with the ancient Hebrew letters, the 22 ancient Hebrew letters. They're engraved. It's like the metal has been cut out, and it's on top of this beautiful wood piece, this beautiful wood plank. Wow, that is beautiful. We need that. Wow. I'm blown away. Forgive me, brothers and sisters. I should be more prepared. I should have already had this stuff looked up, so I wouldn't be blown away. I should have known better. The work that these guys are doing is simply amazing. I got to share this. As y'all know, And in my announcements, introductions, you know, the brother Bada Bada, myself, his family, they have a store, also run a small called EO Pure Therapy, and there you can purchase. You can purchase custom made soaps, herb, it's a holistic store, herbs, homemade soaps, fragrances. Fragrances for the body, for the home, for the mind. A holistic section for if you try to get your health together, from herbs to sea mosses to different type of teas, what have you. They have lip balms, and all these are custom made, y'all. All these are handmade, custom made lip balms and hair pomades. Again, custom made soaps, fragrances. All there at the store, EO Pure Therapy, which is located in the JCPenney wing at Rolling Oaks Mall here in San Antonio, Texas, down on the first floor. But they've also opened up a Hebrew Israel Event Center, which is on the Sears wing of Rolling Oaks Mall, upstairs, right next to where Sears used to be at. They have a Hebrew Israel Event Center where we'll be holding Hebrew classes and history classes on Tuesdays and Sundays. They're at the mall. Anybody's welcome to come and learn. Come one, come all. Come check it out. We have this going on. All right? We have this type of production going on. And I'm looking at this artwork, and oh my God. This it's the Hebrew alphabet. It's the Hebrew alphabet. I got to share this. I'm sorry. My apologies, y'all. My apologies. I'm sounding very unprofessional and everything. But when you get a chance, again, check out ETSYChildrenCreations.com. All right? ETSYChildrenCreations.com. Chosen Creations, one word. ChosenCreations.com. All that one word. It's impressive. It's impressive. Wow. They really are doing, again, the jewelry, the bracelets, the rings. It's something else. It's something else. The artwork is truly amazing. All right, cool. So I got that out the way. Please check it out. Oh man. This threw me, y'all. This threw me. This threw me. This threw me for a loop right here. They have really done a great job with this. They have really done an excellent job with this right here. I didn't realize, and I feel like I've cheated y'all and myself by not looking into this more. I see what they brought to the Hebrew Summit, and some things they're actually making. They're at the summit, but to actually go on the website there and see what they got going on, amazing, amazing. If you want to represent Israel, you want to represent yourself as a Hebrew Israelite, and getting back into the culture, the Hebrew Israelite culture, please check out the website. As far as dick rings for the house, that you want to go there. You definitely want to go for ornaments or whatever for the house. You want to check that out, and even for yourself, the jewelry that can be purchased or gotten for yourself or a loved one, what have you. You want to go check it out, and then. On ISBHBK.com, I know I'm jumping y'all, but on ISBHBK.com, you also have a link to Israelwear, to where you can get your custom-made clothing, men, women, and children, to get back into the Hebrew Israelite mindset, fashion. Not forgetting Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1, which says, awake, awake, put on that beautiful garments, O Zion, that if you want to get back into the culture, you want to get back into and being dressing and being more righteous, please check out Israel Wear. Go to isbhbk.com and check out Israel Wear. On Facebook, there's a link on Facebook for a lot of people who might be Facebook friendly or what have you. You can reach Israel Wear through Facebook. It's Israel Wear. Just like what you hear is what it is, and you get a link to what they got going on, and you can see some of the fashion they have. Again, men, women, and children, from dressed casual garments to formal garments, formal Hebrew Israelite garments. You can check it out for men, women, and children. You can be accommodated. Wow. Okay. With all that now being said and getting that out the way, brothers and sisters, I'm doing a series on biblical salvation. And in the series, we're taking a look at what salvation is from a historical biblical point of view, right? The scripture that we're referencing off of is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, which tells us, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise to salvation, and give thee faith in Jesus Christ. Let me pull it up so I don't have to paraphrase it. Plus, it'll give me a chance to slow my mind down a little bit so I can make sure this is trying to come out as clear as possible. All right, we're going to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3 and verse 15. And it reads, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From what this instruction is giving us right here, what this is telling us right here, is that if we don't understand the Old Testament or the Holy Scriptures, remember, when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, the only scriptures they had was what we call the Old Testament and the Apocrypha, right? That's all that's the only scriptures there was. There was no New Testament. But all these letters, Paul was actually literally writing letters to the brothers and sisters at Rome, to the Hebrews, to the brothers and sisters, the families, the saints at Thessalonians, to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Philippi, Corinth. We have the letters of Paul. We have the letters of James, the letters of Philemon, the letters of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, James, Jude. We have all these were letters that got compiled into what we know now today as the New Testament. But the Holy Scriptures that they had access to is what today we would call the Old Testament and the Apocrypha. If we don't understand, if we don't really take a look at this and what this scripture is saying in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, what it's saying, if we don't understand that the Bible is a history book, that the Bible, as well as being a book of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that the Bible is also a history book, that it records the history of the Israelites, right? It records the history of the earth and the history of the Israelites. And the Bible contains prophecies as well as the history concerning the people, the descendants of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. If we don't really grasp that concept, then our ideas about what salvation is, which has been presented to us from the Protestant Catholic religion, or even from Islam, or what have you, it's going to be convoluted. And once it's convoluted, it's going to be confused. It's not going to be correct. That has been enforced from the colonizing of the Americas, and the spread of false Christianity throughout the earth, of what salvation is. If we don't understand and consider and look that the concept of salvation didn't start just with the writing of the New Testament, that salvation has been in the Old Testament. And it's been involved in the history of the Hebrew Israelites from when the Hebrew Israelites were first saved out of Egypt from God by using his messenger, Moses, by using the prophet Moses and Aaron. That if we don't really start to get and have our foundation established from that point right there, then what we're building is, using the parable that Christ gave, then what you're building your salvation on, but from just starting from just the New Testament, then your salvation is going to be on sand. I'm not saying that the words of Christ is sand or weak, but you're not going to really understand what Christ was talking about or what salvation is. So we've been doing this study, and it's probably going about 2 months now, that we've been really, really trying to investigate through the scriptures, through the Holy Scriptures, so we can be wise about salvation and that our faith can really be established in Christ Jesus, that we can really understand what it means to have faith in Christ Jesus, especially when it concerns salvation. That if we don't, and I can only reiterate that so many times and keep coming back to that point. If we don't look at salvation in the Old Testament, if we don't study the Old Testament and see what took place with the Israelites, that the Israelites repeatedly needed salvation, repeatedly, and what they needed salvation from, that when we look into the Old Testament, we can see that from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 27, the Lord God sent many saviors to the Israelites. He sent many saviors to the Israelites because the Israelites repeatedly went into captivity because of their sins, their transgressions, and their mingling with the other nations and accepting and practicing their cultures and worshiping the gods of the other nations. And because of those sins committed by the Israelites repeatedly were put in captivity. While in captivity, just giving a quick snapshot, while in those captivities, the Israelites would always repent. We would always repent. While we were still in the land of Israel and still being subject to being captives and in bondage and oppressed by the other nations, while still in the land of Israel, we would come together and we would repent. And we would confess our sins to God, to the Most High. We would confess our sins, and then we would pray for the Father to forgive us and to send the Savior or a deliverer. And when you start reading from the book of Judges and come forward from the book of Judges, you'll see that this routine and this cycle was repeated among the Israelites many, 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 many different times. Okay? And that's pretty much a synopsis of what we've been going over in this series. Right now, what we want to continue with today is, so far we've examined how the Israelites have been in captivities while still in the land of Israel. But we're going to be moving forward now and see that because of the repeated sins and transgressions and the Israelites repeatedly breaking the covenant that God established with them from Mount Sinai, and repeatedly worshiping the gods of other nations, repeatedly going in captivities, that the Lord God is going to now step up the consequences and the punishment that he's going to levy to the Israelites because of our transgressions. Because the Israelites keep breaking the laws of God, the Israelites. Okay? So yesterday we were in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 25. I'm going to read that again. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 25. And it says, "Just the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them." And we went through a lot of scriptures yesterday, and showing how many different prophets, many different prophets had warned the Israelites that we would be going into captivity, warned the Israelites to stop doing the negative, the evil that we were doing by following the other nations, by trying to be like the other nations, and rejecting God and accepting and worshiping and following and serving the gods of other nations and the ways and the cultures of other nations, that we would be going in captivity, that God was going to step up his punishment towards us. That he kept saving us. He kept redeeming us. He kept forgiving us. He kept extending mercy. He kept extending grace. And we kept taking advantage of the Israelites. We kept taking advantage of God's mercy And we kept sinning. The Israelites kept sinning. And not because the laws of God are too harsh, because we, the Israelites, really did not love God. When we say John chapter 14, verse 15, it's recorded by that Christ did say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's the sentiment of God also, that if we really love God, we'll keep his commandments. And when we come back and read 1 John chapter, 1 John, let me pull the scripture up. My mind's slipping a little bit. I think it's 5 and 3, but I just want to make sure. Let me do this here, y'all. Let me pull this up. Yeah, I had to forgive me because I'm starting to, as I'm coming from the summit and being around brothers like the House of David, the Mashra Yesha Allah, the brothers Zaquan, the brother Kahan, the brother Mathaftawa, being around some guerrilla Hebrew, Hashar, some great teachers and eloquent teachers and eloquent men that these brothers are some of the most inspiring teachers and men that I've ever met. Brother Karash, Barak, Benyamin, Ash, Kazakia, Maharaka up there in St. Louis, that these men are some great speakers. And now I find myself in trying to be, that sounds so, I guess, juvenile. and when I think about how these men speak and how these men motivate, how these men get things done, that I'm getting a little nervous in how I'm sounding, which has caused me to stumble over my words more and do the ums and the huh and the pauses. So I'm trying to relax, y'all. I'm trying to get my mind back together. I know I can teach. I can say it, but just being around some of these great men, that are definitely prophets. You know, some of these great men and families is going to be going. It's trying to take my mind there. So, and now my computer wants to mess up. It wants to lag behind. Not grievous. You ever notice that when you're trying to rush, that's when things get more messed up, you're trying to rush because you're thinking about time and everything. Right, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, everybody. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. There's a scripture I was looking for, and this is what it says. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So if we're going to show God love, it can't be in word and in tongue, but it's got to be in deed and in truth. It's got to be in our actions and in our spirit that we actually love God by obeying God, by following God, by keeping his commandments, that it's not grievous. If you love something, it's like what people say about a job. It's if you love what you're doing, you never work a day in your life. If you love what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. It's not work, because it's something that you love to do. So if we really love God, then keeping his commandments is not going to be grievous. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be too much. It's not going to be, that was Old Testament days. That was biblical times. That was from back then. We're living in the year now, 2023, and now things have changed and different, and it's just too hard to try and live that way. It's just too hard to keep all his commandments. And that's a lie. That's a straight up lie. If we love God, we'll keep his commandments. And that's how God recognizes if we love him. Not from all the singing that we do, not from all the praying that we do, not from the falling out, having condition fits that we partake in. We show God we love him when we keep his commandments. And if we have that love, then his commandments are not grievous. To do what he says ain't going to be hard. It only becomes hard is I don't want to do that. If it's, something simple, one of the a real simple commandment of God, don't eat pork, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 8. Don't eat swine. Don't eat it. And the only reason that would be grievous to a person is that they really love pork. And they really love the pepperoni. They really love the bologna, the pork bacon, the pork products. And the only reason that commandment would be hard to keep is if you really just love pork more you love God. And that's why, what the opening music I start with says everybody's got choices. It's a choice. I either choose to love God and keep his commandments, or I choose to love me and keep my own ways. Remember, one of the problems we were told in First Timothy, also chapter 3, verse 1, is that in the last days, there should be perilous times, and that lovers, people will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That a person loves the things that please them more than they love God. But if you love God, then whatever sacrifices we got to make for God, it's not going to be hard because it's for God. That if I got to let go of this and put this down and not deal with this to show God I love him, then that shouldn't be hard. Then that's what I want to do. That's what should be done. So this was the pattern that the Israelites that we kept messing up on, right? That the Israelites did keep messing up on. So the last verse we had yesterday was Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3. Let me pull this back up also. All right. Jeremiah 17, verse 25, and this is what it reads, y'all. This is what it says. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. And this is the class we was going over yesterday. And the scripture that we stopped with was Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3. All right, so just picking up from there. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3, it says this. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. So what the Lord is telling even Ezekiel, recorded here, that the history of the Israelites, from when we came out of Egypt, we weren't even, for when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the commandments, that for those 40 days and 40 nights that Moses was gone, we had already went and made a molten calf and was already, for lack of a better word, tripping. We was already, for all the plagues that the Most High had sent against the Egyptians to free us, to show his power, that within that 40 days of Moses being on Mount Sinai, we was already worshiping another god. Already built the golden calf. It was like, this who saved us. This thing that we put together, this thing that we made is what saved us, not the Lord God. And we want to attribute that, our salvation, our freedom, that God was specific in doing to free us from the Egyptians, that we want to attribute it to something else. That, hell, we get to the even leaving Egypt. And from leaving Egypt and getting to the Red Sea, that was a three-day journey. When you go back and do the math, it was a three-day journey. And in that 3 days, we was already wanting to kill Moses and saying it was better for us to stay in Egypt and be slaves than come out here now and we're going to be killed at the Red Sea, that we should never have trusted. We should never have put our faith and trust in this. We should have stayed in Egypt in the routine, in the ways that we know about Egypt. Well, we're out here now, don't know what's going to happen to us. And we wanted to put Moses to death, That was 3 days from leaving Egypt before we got to the Red Sea. So we the Israelites have not showed a history of being faithful to the Lord God. We have not shown a history of keeping our part of the covenant that God established with us, that we would be his people and he would be our God. There were intervals where we did keep the commandments. There were intervals where, as a nation, we were keeping commandments. We were being righteous. We were doing right. That was right in the eyes of God. But there's so many other times that we did not do right in the eyes of God. We were doing evil in the eyes of God. We were sinning in the eyes of God. And God put us in captivity. Okay? Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Yeah, this is going to be a good one. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20. And I'm going to start at verse 5. Now, Ezekiel chapter 20, we're going to start at verse 5. Again, and this is just going over. Let me see. I'm going to start at the top here. We're going to start at verse 1, y'all. Ezekiel chapter 20, we're going to start at verse 1. Again, and what we're doing is we're just going over the history about the Israelites. I know we're dealing with the topic of salvation, but right now we're dealing with the consequences of Israel's continued rebellion, the consequences of Israel, the Israelites continued sinning against God, right? That we have established this history. We really have established this history with God. And God has put us in captivity many times, and God has saved the Israelites many times. So here in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 1, and it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month of the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. That at this time, I mean, again, we've been provoking the Lord God so much and making him angry so much that our leaders, our kings, the whole nation, that now God is like it has gotten to this point now that he's saying, why are y'all even coming and even trying to talk to me? Why are y'all even trying to inquire of me? We have repeatedly shown this history that we don't want to follow God. We don't love God. And now all of a sudden, now y'all are coming. Now that I put y'all in captivity and been doing these things to y'all, now all of a sudden y'all want to come and not want to talk. And God is saying, I'm ignoring you right now during this time of Ezekiel. All right? Verse 4. It says, Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. So this is what the Lord said now to Ezekiel. Look, I ain't going to talk to them. This is what the Lord is saying to Ezekiel. I'm not going to talk to them. If they want to ask you, cool, but show them this. Show them what the abominations of their fathers. Show them that all the things that God finds disgusting that we've been doing. Tell them that. Verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 5. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel, I lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, I made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. There's so much in history in this right here. But yes, the Lord God, the Israelites are the chosen people of God. We can't get around that, brothers and sisters. We can't ignore that. We can't get around that. The Israelites are the chosen seed of God, being the seed of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. God making a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that the Israelites were going to be his people. And the Israelites are his people. Okay? So he said, from the day that I made myself known unto the Israelites, unto the house of Jacob, while they were in captivity in Egypt, I said to them, I am the Lord your God. Verse 6. In the day that I lifted up my... Let me slow down. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt, into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. that the Lord is saying, I'd already picked out, when they were in Egypt, I already picked out the chosen land for them, which was the promised land, was the glory, is the creme de la creme, it's the best, the most fertile, it's the top resourceful land on the planet Earth. I already had this picked out special for the house of Israel, for the 12 tribes of Israel. I'd already spied it out. I already had it reserved for y'all. Verse 7. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That everything that the Egyptians do that is disgusting in the eyes of God, leave it alone. Leave it there. Their food, their culture, their morals is an abomination in the eyes of God. Leave it there. That let it go. I am the Lord your God. Follow my culture. Follow what I'm giving you. Follow my civil laws. Follow my calendar. Follow my high holidays. Follow my the way that I want to be worshipped. Whereas the Egyptians was slaying their children, I don't want y'all doing that. Come and follow me. I love you. I've chosen you. Come and do things my way now. And when you do so, you got to let go of the things that you learned in Egypt from the Egyptians. Verse 8. But they rebelled against me and without hearkening unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes. Now, we listen to what's being said. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. This was going. He was ready to get us while we were in Egypt. While we were in Egypt, and Moses came and let us know that the Lord God is ready to deliver us. He's ready to save us. And if you go back and we have archive, we have shows that we've covered on this. Now remember, each of the plagues that God brought against the Egyptians, those were the gods. That was God specifically attacking the gods and the power structure of the Egyptians. Now, for what the Egyptians attributed to their gods, from their technology, from the Egyptian technology, the Egyptian religion, that God was attacking each one of those plagues, and that's why those plagues were specific to the Egyptians, to show that, no, the Egyptians are not the superpower, that their gods are not stronger or more powerful than the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he did all that, and while doing all that, we still wanted to hold on to what the Egyptians' culture. We still wanted to hold on to the Egyptian gods and their routines and their morals and their way of doing things. While God was even destroying and showing that he was more powerful than them. Verse 9, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 9. But I wrought for my name's sake that I should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. So, guys, I can't pollute my name. I said that these are my people. The Israelites are my people. The 12 tribes are my people. I will be their God. They're going to be my people. If I destroy them, then what's that going to say about my name? I'm the Most High now. I can't control them. I can't deal with them. I can't have that. He said, no. I destroyed the Egyptians, and they're going to be my people. They're going to get things right. They're going to get it right. Verse 10, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. Verse 11, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Verse 12, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. And that 40 years that we rebelled against God, even at that time, They walk not in my statutes, and they despise my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. That God's judgment is supposed to become our life. This is how we now live. That it becomes this becomes our culture. Not a fad. Not something temporary, but this actually become that we start to judge things the same way God judges things. That our lives are now, we judge our lives the way God judges things. What God finds an abomination and disgusting, we're supposed to find it just as disgusting and abominable as he does. Again, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 13, which if a man do, I'm in the middle of the verse, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths, they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought, verse 14, but I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whom sight I brought them out. This is hard, y'all. This is hard. We're going to read Ezekiel 25 through 32, right, through the end. Verse 15. Yet also I lifted up mine hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. You see how he keeps repeating how special the promised land is? It's the glory. It's the epitome. It's the top of all lands as far as resources, as far as everything. That here God made, he swore to himself, raising his hand, he swore to himself that wicked generation was not going to make it to the promised land. Their children was going to make it, but not that wicked generation of just wanting to rebel against God. Verse 16, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, where their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eyes spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. Again, if we can, I hope I'm able to paint this picture to see and give the empathy of God, God's feelings about how many chances he has given, has continued to give the Israelites in keeping his word. That there's many times from jump that our behavior made God so angry. He was ready to destroy us from the very beginning, talking about the Israelites. But that his eye spared us. He had mercy on us. He did not wipe us off the face of the earth. After sharing his secrets, his thoughts, his heart, his judgment, his opinions with the nation of Israel, that we spat on that. Again, verse 17, Ezekiel 20, verse 17. Nevertheless, mine eyes spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. Verse 18. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. That he said to the children of that generation that came, the adults that came out of Egypt. The Lord told the children of those adults, don't follow your family. Don't follow the statutes and the laws and the ways and the morals of your fathers. Don't observe their judgment, their opinions. Don't defile yourself with what they look up to and what they hold precious or sentimental. Don't do that. Verse 19, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Not the way your parents raised you, coming out of Egypt, who had an affinity and a sentimental attachment to what they've been through and what they learned in Egypt. And I'm bringing y'all out of that. I'm trying to save y'all from that. But that they still want to hold on to what was precious and sentimental and good in Egypt. I'm saving you from that. Let that go. Walk in what I'm teaching you. Verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 21. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them. Which if a man do, he shall live in them. This can be your way of life. This ain't play acting. This ain't for pretend. This got to become our way of life. God's laws, his statutes, his judgments. Which if a man do, he shall live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, verse 22, nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. That the nations are going to look and see that they so wild. Look, God, even you can't deal with them. That are you really the Most High? Are you really the all-powerful, the almighty, the omnipotent? Is that really, should we really fear you? Verse 23, I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. So it was said to us, it was told to the Israelites, that if we keep up this behavior, then it's going to get to the point where we're going to be scattered among the heathen, and we will be dispersed throughout the countries. Verse 24, he's going to tell us why. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Verse 25, wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that I might know, that they might know that I am the Lord. So God said, y'all really want to do that? I'm going to let y'all do it then. Go ahead. Y'all want to be like the Egyptians, the Moabites, the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Edomites, so called white people, the Arabs, and to where they are literally sacrificing their children. They were killing their children. I'm going to let y'all do that then. From the very jump, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And y'all are following the nations to want to be like the nations, to where you're literally killing kids from abortions, to literally sacrificing and burning your kids up in idols, and making sure, teaching our kids to love and be and appreciate the cultures around us and not keep the culture that God was trying to establish or want us to establish. If I let y'all do it there. Verse 27. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me. Verse 28. For when I had brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their fathers. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offerings, that in the groves, in the trees, and in the promised land, that we got to worship in every agricultural god that the nations could ever come up with, and not just obeying God's law, such commandments, that the Lord God would bring the rain. The Lord God would bring the early and latter rain. The Lord God would bless our crops so that our kids' kids would be able to eat and be taken care of and be well. We was worshiping all the other agricultural gods in that land, all the sex gods in that land, all the festivals and rituals and events of all the other nations, that this is going to be a better way or more fun way, or more acceptable way to make sure that we keep our food, that we keep eating, that we keep riches, we keep luxury, that we keep having a good time. And we're not going to do things the way God wants us to do things. Oh, but then we're going to, you know, on the side, yeah, we might do a Passover every once in a while. We might do a Feast of First Fruits every once in a while. But for the most part, we're going to live for ourselves and do the things that we like as we see the other nations doing things. Verse 29. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bema unto this day, which means beast. Wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit ye whoredom after their abominations? Think about what a whoredom. If God is married to the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel continues to go after other gods, and not honoring our God or our husband, then guess what that makes us? A whore. We're laying down and accepting the ways, we're worshiping and servicing the gods and the cultures and the ways of other nations. That makes the children of Israel, that makes us whores in the eyes of God. We're not staying true to who our husband's supposed to be, the Lord God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his laws, his statutes, his commandments. We want to be the side chick to God, but we want to go ahead and be with all the other nations and participate in all their rituals and all their culture. We want to be Americans. We want to live the American way of life here in this modern times. But we was doing the same type of behavior even back then. Verse 31. For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Y'all, that we want to do things that the nations find special, like if it was today, from Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, birthdays, that this is the way of the people of the world today. Friday night parties, defining the actual Sabbath. We want to go and worship on Sundays, which is the wrong day of the week, and being like the other nations, where again, this LGBTQ movement that's going on, this feminist movement that's going on, the effeminizing of men that's going on, that we want to partake in these things because it's a way to get rich. It's a way to prosper. It's a way to YOLO, to live your best life. Instead of wanting to do things the way God wants to do things done, as if God didn't want us to have a long life, as if God didn't want us to have the joy and pleasure of his creation. But we have this thing that we just don't want to do it God's way. We got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 32, and then he's saying, so now we keep showing this, and now we're going to come to him like now we've been whores, we've been adulteresses, we've loved the ways of the world, like James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and the adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Anybody that will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We want to be accepted by the world and what the world says and the standards that the world gives. But then we want to come back and now, like, ask God that after we get abused, after we get, you know, our kids, our women, our men are being killed in the streets from violence, from police, from diseases, from just what have you. But we want to keep worshiping and doing things the way the nations do things, and we want to come to God like, God, why don't you help? God, why aren't you there? God, why you let this happen? And we carry this mentality like God hasn't told us from the time of Egypt up until now, follow my ways. I'll protect you. I will be your God. But we keep choosing to want to be like the other nations and follow the cultures and the standards and the ways and the thinking of the other nations. And then we want to come back now and like, because now we bend the knee, then now all of a sudden God's supposed to just be there at our beck and call. Remember this, y'all. Holding Ezekiel. Let's hold Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 31. And let's get real quick Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Let's get Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. And it says, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. We can't pray to God. We can't be trying to live the standards of this world and live and try to live the American lifestyle and really kind of love and like the American lifestyle and look up to the idols that America presents to us. I'm saying America only because we're here in the Western Hemisphere right now. Participate and partake in the privileges and the ways and that America presents. And then when things happen to us, now we want to turn to God in prayer, like now God's supposed to be there. And then we think that we're justified, that we can say that I prayed to God at one time, and God didn't hear my prayer, and my mom died, my child died, this happened, that happened, and God wasn't there. We can't, that's not fair. We can't do that. We can't do that. We can't turn our ear from the law, that we ignore how God, the warnings of God, we ignore how God wants things done. We ignore that so we can follow our idols and the things that our parents and grandparents and families find sentimental, that we hold on to those things. But when it comes to doing things the way God wants things done, we don't hold on to it. Then when things happen, obviously we come running to him. And now because we ran to him and praying to him, then now he's just supposed to listen? That's not how this works. Come back now to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 32. Come back now to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 32. It says, and that which cometh into your mind, I love this scripture, and that which cometh into your mind should not be at all. That you say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. But again, going over some of this history of the Israelites, all right? From there, let's get Ezekiel chapter 23 and verse 2 and 3. Whoa. Ezekiel chapter 23, I'm sorry, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother, and they committed whoredoms in Egypt. They committed whoredoms in their youth. There were their breasts pressed, and there they bruised the teats of their virginity. And the names of them were Ahola, the elder, and Aholibah, her sister, and they were mine. And they bare sons and daughters. Thus were their names. Samaria is Ahola, and Jerusalem is Aholibah. Talking about when the nation, this is how the Lord keeps viewing us as Israelites, that this is how we keep presenting ourselves to him. That we keep hoeing ourselves out. We keep prostituting ourselves out to the other nations to want to accept and be accepted by their culture, by their standards, by their morals. That we want to keep holding on to what our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, the family traditions, the sentimental things of the family. We want to keep holding on to those things but we will not grasp, hold on to what God wants. But we want to hold both. We want to hold on to both. And the eyes of God, that's wrong. All right? I can't read any more of this chapter, y'all. I can't read any more of this chapter. Not in this class right now. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. Verse 13. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. What I want us to kind of see right now, and what I want, the direction we're going to go into right now is how many times the Lord God tried to warn the Israelites from the several captivities that we went through from the book of Judges throughout the Old Testament. How many warnings did the Father give? How many consequences did he levy upon us? And each consequence had to get worse and worse and worse and worse for the Israelites to get right. And then he kept saving us. I'm not going to lose the point. And then he kept saving us in his mercy and his long suffering. He kept saving us. He kept delivering us. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Throughout the history of the Israelites, the Lord, all the prophets were warning the Israelites to turn from our evil ways and to keep God's commandments, keep God's statutes, keep God's judgments. Judge things the same way God judges things. If God says it's wicked, then we got to judge it the same way. If God says it's off, it's not right, we're supposed to, and that's God's judgment, we're supposed to judge things the exact same way. Again, not giving this excuse that, oh, those are biblical times. That was back then. That we're living in these times now, and times are different. Things have changed. Where has God changed? Where has God changed? We know God don't change. But he sent all his servants, the prophets, to tell Israel, keep your commandments. Get back right. When we come back and consider this, and come back now and see how brothers be aggressively street teaching, how brothers be aggressively bringing up the word of God, we really don't understand how many times God has given and shown mercy and salvation to the Israelites. How many times that he's reset the relationship between us and him to give us another chance. We keep ignoring that. And that now that he's coming back now and coming with some fury and some anger and God's feelings, we want to take this victim mentality like, why you talk to me that way, God? God, you realize that you win more people with honey than you will with vinegar. We really don't understand how the Father the levels that he's extended of patience. We really don't understand the levels of forgiveness that he has tapped into. Again, going back to the world famous John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That for him to give his only begotten son, to torture Christ the way he tortured Christ, to give the Israelites yet this last chance, that's a lot of love. That's a lot of love. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7, Psalms 1. We're going to read this whole chapter 2. And we're reading kind of fast, y'all. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting in verse 1. And yes, there's evil in the land again. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at the gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Change what you're doing. This is while we were still in the land. This is before, this is after the Northern Kingdom had been kicked out of the promised land and were dispersed. The majority of them come over here to the Americas, were being just kicked out the land. The understand we were the Northern Kingdom was now kicked out of the land of Israel because of our repeated whoredoms against God. And now God has given the Southern Kingdom of Judah, those Israelites that were still in the land, trying to give them another warning. Get right. This is while we were in the promised land. Verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord of these. Meaning, don't trust that just because the temple's here, the sanctuary's here, that this is going to save you, that we keep doing the negative, the wickedness, the iniquities that we were caught up into. But this belief that because the temple is here, that we can keep doing what we're doing and all the oxen free, that nothing's going to happen to us. He said, don't trust in that. Don't trust nothing like that. Because the sanctuary is here, I won't get y'all. Do not trust in that. Don't think that the Northern Kingdom got pushed out because the temple ain't there. So that's why they're gone. But because we're here close to the temple, we're around the temple that Solomon built, that's going to save us. That we can still keep tripping. We can still keep committing whoredoms. We can still not obey God the way he wants to be obeyed. And because the temple is here, the actual building is here, that's going to save us. He said, don't let that come in your mind. Verse 5. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. Did y'all catch that word? Thoroughly? Thoroughly? Jeremiah 7, verse 5. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you still murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom ye knew not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. And God's saving us, God's protecting us, so we can keep doing all this negative. So I can live this life. God is really asking, do you really think that this is what this is about? Just like what the false sense that Christianity gives, and this false Christianity, because you just say the name Jesus Christ, you can still keep living and doing the things that you like? That now, because of this false Christianity, we can call the name of Jesus, but still keep doing the things that God hates because Christ died for our sins? So because I like eating pork, I can still keep eating pork. Because I like going to church because I like the songs they sing. So I can still keep going to church. I can still do the birthdays. I still keep doing the Valentine's Days. I still keep doing and living the ways of the nations. But because I just called out the name of Jesus, that now Jesus gave me, has covered me, so I can go ahead and do what I want to do. And now God's okay with it. Brothers and sisters, there's not enough studying going on. There's not enough reading going on. There's not really understanding about the history of the Israelites. Absolutely zilch. Nada. Niet. Nothing. Jeremiah 7, verse 11. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Remember how Christ overthrew the temple? When Christ went to the temple and overthrew it, first he made a whip. He hand-stitched an actual whip and went and started whipping and beating people in the temple and turning over their tables, saying, have you made my father's house a house of thieves? That you really think it's just about what you can gain and what you can profit and what you can get and prosper in? Do you think that this is what this is about? Jeremiah 7, verse 11. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves, of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But ye go now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. He said, if y'all think that I'm cool with this, y'all don't know me, if I'm putting it in like today's terms. Y'all need to ask about me. Y'all remember, Shiloh is where the Most High first put his name when he brought the children of Israel, and we had the tabernacle. And that's where the tabernacle was at, was in Shiloh. The Lord is saying to the men of Israel, the Israelites at this time, the house of Judah at this time, y'all really trusting them because the temple is still here, that I won't kick y'all's ass? Y'all forget, I first put my name in the temple, the tabernacle, in Shiloh. And look what happened to Shiloh because of what Israel, the northern kingdom, was doing. And y'all thinking that y'all are safe, that y'all can keep doing what y'all are doing, and I'm not going to get y'all? From all the captivities that you've already been in, and you keep doing this wickedness, you think that I'm going to be let it go? Y'all forget what I just did to the house of Israel and giving them into the Assyrians and kicked them up out this house, kicked them up out my land. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 13. And now, because you've done all these works, saith the Lord, and I speak unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Then the Lord's been sending his servants the prophets, trying to warn us, trying to tell us, trying to get us right, trying to let it be known, hey, dad's getting upset. Big Papa's getting upset. We better get it right. Better stop doing this. Better straighten up. Better get things right. He's coming. But we answered not. We heard, we ignored. We kept on right about our own business. Kept doing whatever we found interesting to ourselves. I'm not listening to that. He ain't going to do nothing. He been telling us for long, he going to do this. He going to do that. He ain't going to do nothing. Jeremiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, what I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I've done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough and make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. has anybody ever considered, again, going back to why for that, I mean, every celebration that we have is a cake made and there's a candle put on it? That flame, that light is put on these cakes, whether it's the birthday cake, an anniversary, Christmas. Well, there's always got to be some type of cake and a candle that gets lit. And what is God talking about right here? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle a fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings. And why are all the celebrations we go to about getting drunk, getting plastered, having a good time? And for our drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. That all the celebrating, all the type of stuff, is pissing God off. Jeremiah 7, verse 19. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? You got your own kids confused about what's right and what's wrong. The parents, we confuse our own children about what's right and what's wrong. Should you wear pants, not wear pants? Should you wear makeup, not wear makeup? Should you do this, do that? Be accepted by what the world is talking about. The parents confuse the kids, provoking the kids to anger. Verse 20, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Verse 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. You do this, God saying, you do you, boo. Verse 22, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. That we think we're bringing something special to God, that we find sentimental, that we find special, that we find cute, that we find lovely. And we want to present this to God. That's what God told Samuel to tell Saul what? To obey is better than sacrifice. Then, yeah, God, I bought this for you. I didn't ask for that. That we keep wanting to bring to God what we find special and what we like, and not just obeying God. And we want God to have the same warm, fuzzy feeling, and when God has the same tear-jerking moment in what we offer to him because it's special to us. It's like we totally don't, there is no Genesis, the fourth chapter, that Cain can't bring the wrong sacrifice and wasn't accepted by God. Like that whole chapter, it just erased. It was never written. But we keep wanting to bring what we like and what we want and what we find acceptable, and just not obeying God. We want to keep finding substitutes. God, I know you asked for this, but I'm going to do this. God, I know you said this, but I want to bring this. Oh, I thought you might like this, God. See how pretty it is? Yeah, God, I thought you kind of think like me because, you know, we have the same mind, that you would appreciate the colors and you appreciate all the hard work that I put into this. No, I didn't partake particularly obey your word, but I brought something. Jeremiah 7, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that I may be, that it may be well unto you. Jeremiah 7, verse 24. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Verse 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Verse 27. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Verse 28, but thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. That again, and again, it's not like the Most High did not keep warning the Israelites. It's not like the Most High didn't keep warning and sending prophets to warn the Israelites for us to turn from our ways. We read earlier 2 Kings 7, 17, verse 17. Now we're going to read 17, verse, let me get it again. We read 2 Kings 7, 17, verse 13. Now we're going to jump down to 2 Kings 7, 17, verse 23 now. Now we're going back to 2 Kings 7, 17, verse 23. So now 2 Kings 7, 17, verse 23. Until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away? Oh, okay. Am I ready to go here yet? Before I go there, don't go there yet, y'all. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14. I'm going to have to pull this up. Yeah, we're going to go here. Before we go to 2 Kings 7, before we go back to 2 Kings 17, 23, let's not go there. You can erase that out of your notes right now. Let's go to Leviticus 7, 26. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26 and keep in the topic. And I'm trying to be aware of my time and everything, trying to squeeze all some of this in. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26, we'll start at verse 14. Again, now, the Lord said he's been sending his servants, the prophets, to tell Israel, to warn Israel, to warn Israel. I want to go back and get some more of these warnings, but we're getting to the point in history now. The reason I didn't want to read 2 Kings chapter 17, because that's referring, or 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 23, because that's going to take us into the Assyrian captivity. And I'm trying to still get a build up to the point where we get to the Assyrian captivity. I'm hoping that from the series and the shows that we've done before this, that you can go back to iHeartRadio podcast, to the Apple iTunes podcast, to Google Podcasts, to Podcast Addict, or to www.blogtalkradio.com / Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, to go back over to some of this series that is building up to this point here, that we've been in many captivities, that the servants, the prophets, kept warning the Israelites, and through many captivities that the Israelites went through, the one thing that was particular about those captivities is that we still remain in the land of Israel, that we were still being oppressed in the land of Israel, that there was, again, a buildup of the Lord warning the nation of Israel, if we keep this up, he's going to have to increase his affliction. He's going to increase the consequences. It's going to get worse. And I just want to go back and now let's reexamine some of those things. And hopefully I'm keeping it in perspective for everybody to be able to follow along. All right, so now we're in Leviticus chapter 26, and we're coming back to Moses, all right, and giving the Israelites some of the first warnings that if we don't listen, how the Father is going to have to increase the punishment to the Israelites, all right? So now we're in Leviticus chapter 26. I'm going to read verse 14. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14. And what we're dealing with is punishments for disobedience to the Israelites, all right? So Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and when I do all these commandments, verse 15, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. Verse 16, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. This was going to be while we were still in the land. This is going to be one of the consequences of the Lord trying to get us on track with his mindset and keeping this covenant and keeping this marriage. Then now this is going to be the first set of consequences. And I will, verse 17, and I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. That as we go through this chapter, brothers and sisters, if you've never read it before, I hope I'm bringing it in the context that can be grasped. It might not be agreed with, but it can be grasped how the Lord, he didn't just all of a sudden just do away with Israel and just throw us in captivity here to the Americas, what have you. That we kept doing things against God and provoking God and poking the bear, to get to the point where we were in captivity in our homeland many times. We were oppressed many times while in the homeland. But because we kept refusing to want to do it his way, he had to increase the punishment. He has increased the punishment. Verse 18. One more time. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18. And if you will not yet for all this, hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. Verse 19. I will break the pride of your power. And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. God said, I'm going to increase my punishment towards the Israelites to break your pride. That whatever it is that you're holding on to that's telling you that it's okay for you to do things your way, it's okay for you to keep going by your imagination and what you think and what pleases you, that won't let you, that's got you in this thing where we're not going to listen to God. We're not going to do things his way. Verse 19, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19. And I will break the pride of your power. Whatever it is that's given us power, you know, whatever idol that we're looking up to, whatever image or whatever person or whatever thing that we keep looking up to, that we get this thing, I will not be broken. I'm gonna keep following my dreams because this person said that, because I want to be like this person, I want to be like that person. And they give me the power to believe in myself, give me the power that I can do what I want to do, that I can be free, that I'm not going to live in a box, that I'm not going to follow nobody's rules. I'm going to march to the beat of my own drum. I'm going to do things my own way. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19. I will break the pride of your power. Whatever is given y'all power to think y'all can keep doing it your way, I'm going to break that. How? I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. I will put you between a rock and a hard place. I'm going to make your life miserable. This is what God is saying to the Israelites. But this is a result of he punished us one degree of punishment we already went through, but that didn't break our power. That didn't break our pride. That didn't break our pride. So now this is the where he's having to step up, what he's going to have to do to us to finally break our pride, to finally get us to do things the right way. He's having to step this up in increments according to how we keep behaving with him. And this is the history of Israel. This is what we've already been through this. Verse 20, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 20. And your strength shall be spent in vain. And everything you put your energy into, your love, your passion, your what you find dear. He says, and now remember, brothers and sisters, this is why we were in the promised land. This is not, we ain't got to him kicking us out of the land and coming here to the Americas. We're not even there yet. All this was going on while we were still in the promised land. And your strength shall be spent in vain. And your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. This was in the promised land. This is while we were still in the promised land. He had already been increasing the punishments towards us, even while still in the promised land. Because these punishments weren't registering. You know, you have a child, and from a toddler, especially from a toddler, from an infant to a toddler, it's enough for you to redirect a toddler to where they want to play with the electrical socket, and you can redirect them. But then they want to keep playing with the electrical socket, and then you just redirecting them and trying to get their attention on something else. That ain't working because they keep wanting to go back to playing with the electrical socket. And then finally, in your voice, you got to like kind of that verbal judo, if you will. No! You kind of got to wake them up and startle them. And it might cause some tears. It might cause it's going to cause tears, let's be honest. It's going to cause some tears. Then it gets to a point where you're trying to redirect them from something that's going to hurt them. You're trying to redirect them, but they still are hell-bent on wanting to do that thing that they want to do. And then your voice just saying no ain't enough. And then it gets to a point where you might have to smack their hand. Then you got to start warning them about, you want to pop out? You want einash, which was an ancient Hebrew word for punishment. Then keep playing with that. Or keep going over there messing with that, and now it's going to have to get worse. It's going to get more severe. Then it gets to a point where, all right, cool. You want einash? You want pop out? Okay, you know what? You need a timeout. You need a timeout. You need to go spend some time in the corner until you get your head right. You need to go sit on the stairs. You need to go in the other room. You need to be away from your toys, from everything else, and so you really think about what it is you really want to do, and do you really want to deal with these consequences? But what I'm trying to paint is there's an increasement, an increase in how you have to deal with that person, that child, and as they keep growing, that as they keep showing that stubbornness and that rebellion, you have to step up the discipline. You have to step up the consequences. And then it goes from when you have the you're trying to redirect, you're trying to use the words no, the groundings, the standing in the corners, to where then you have to get a belt. That just a tap on the hand doesn't work no more. A tap on the rump don't work no more. You got to get a belt. And then with the belt, it gets to a point where even that stops working. So now you got to start taking away phones. You got to start taking away outside time. You got to start taking away free time, TV time, internet time. You have to keep increasing what you're doing to try and break the pride in this child. Because they're just that stubborn. Well, take the same scenario and put that now on the nation of Israel. Take that same scenario and just map that, put that, lay that directly on Israel's relationship with the Lord God. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 20. Verse 21. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. That now we're walking contrary. I'm just going to be opposite. We know what God wants. We're just going to be opposite. And we're just not going to listen. Huh? I didn't know. I didn't hear. I forgot. Oh, you were talking to me? Oh, I thought you meant for just that time. Because I was thinking about what I wanted to do. So God's saying what? I'm going to bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I was saying, I'm going to do verse 23. And if you will not be reformed by, let me just keep reading, verse 22. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number. And your highways shall be desolate. All this was going on while we were in the promised land, y'all. All this was still happening while we were in the promised land. These were where God was having increased the punishment while we were still in the promised land. Verse 23. And if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, verse 24, then will I also walk contrary unto you. And I will punish you yet seven times more for your sins. I got to increase it even seven times more. So it's let me see here. I'm going to go a little bit over the time today, I can tell. One, two, three. He's already had to increase it seven times more, three times already. To try and get it through our thick heads, try and get it through our thick skulls, get right. I'm already going to see the enemies against you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that to you while you're still in the land. Get right. I'm having to increase the punishment because we won't get it through our thick skulls. You know, I guess that a numbskull, thick-headed, just stubborn. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 23. And if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will also walk contrary unto you. I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. You see, I just pay attention to how many times the Lord says, I'm going to increase it seven times more. I'm going to increase it seven times more. I'm going to increase it seven times more because of the sins of the Israelites. Verse 25, and I will bring a sword upon you, that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. All this arguing back and forth about y'all gonna follow me, not follow me, that. He said, I'm gonna avenge this quarrel. And when you be gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Captivities. While we were in our cities, we're gonna be given to our enemies. Our enemies are gonna be over us. He's telling us this. And we can go back and see where these things did happen to the Israelites. Verse 26. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. That I'm going to send a famine to where y'all have been so want to be independent-minded and want to just be on your own and do your own thing and not have to answer to nobody. And you just want to live on your land in your house and have your property and just have a place of your own. So it's going to get to the point now. It's going to have to be 10 women making bread in one oven. That in order for you to feed your family, y'all going to have to come together. That luxury that you're looking for, That it's this is your land, it's your house, it's yours. You can do it as you want because it's mine. He said, I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to break that. And now 10 women are going to make bread in one oven. And they shall deliver you your bread again by weight. Now it's going to be rationed out. Because it got to be enough for everybody. And you shall eat and not be satisfied. Verse 27. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me. Verse 28. Then I will walk contrary unto you. Also in fury, and I will chastise you seven times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. I want y'all to pick up. We're still in our cities, in the land of Israel. Yeah, all these punishments was happening to the Israelites while we were still in our cities. Verse 32. And I will bring the land into desolation. And the enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. I wanted to get that right there. All right, let me catch my notes, and I'm seeing what time it is. Yeah, we're here. All right, verse 32. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 32. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Verse 33. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. So, and the Lord having to step in the increments to the punishment of the Israelites, is going to go now from us being in our cities. And we're suffering these things while we're in our cities, that now, here in verse 33, and I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out the sword after you. We're going to be among the heathen, and he'll draw out the sword after us. And your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Verse 34, shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths? As long as I live, say, as long as it lies desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. Yet part of the Lord having to increase this punishment to us, it was going to get to the point where we finally had to be kicked out of our land. Now remember, as I get ready to end this class, remember, the Israelites were in captivity under King Koshan of Mesopotamia 8 years, but we were still in the land. That's Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. We were delivered by Othniel. We were in captivity under Eglon of the Moabites, 18-year captivity. We were in captivity under the Canaanites, or the Jabin of the Canaanites, for a 20-year captivity. We went in captivity under the Midianites for a 7-year captivity. We went in captivity under the Ammonites for 18-year captivity. We went in captivity under the Philistines, for another 40-year captivity. That all these things that we have been in captivity many times while we were still in the land of Israel. But from Leviticus chapter 20, it was prophesied to us from Leviticus, the time of Leviticus, from the time before we came to the promised land, God already warned the Israelites that these things were going to happen. And it was going to get to the point where we were going to be kicked out of our land and put in slavery outside of our land. So now the land can now rest. Because now we're going to finally be kicked out of the land. And brothers and sisters, That's going to bring us through the Assyrian captivity. It's not going to lead us to the Babylonian captivity, then to the Persian and Median captivity, to the Greek captivity, to the captivity, and here to the Americas. Yeah, all this is a result of the Lord having increased the punishment to the Israelites seven times more because of our sins. While we were in the promised land, and finally to the point where, and it's going to be my summer point, finally to the point that we were going to have to finally be kicked up out of our land. All right? So I am going to end it with that right there. I am going to end it with that right there. Yeah, this is a good place to stop. This is a good place to stop. Do this. Let me do this. Just so I can make a bookmark at where I'm at. So that when I pick this up on Monday, we can resume. All right, so with that, brothers and sisters, I can take care of this. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Whether you cut the live show or you might cut one of the archive shows, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please don't forget to please check out ISBHBK YouTube channels, whether it's ISBHBK Houston, Norfolk, or ISBHBK Rochester, ISBHBK San Antonio. Please check it out. Hebrew Israelite teaching that you can get your hands on, please check them out. We ask for your support here with ISBHBK as we're trying to do our job and bring our break to the fold, to the work, and trying to wake up Israel and for the Israelites, for us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That it is time for us to repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right. Again, so my name is Mashaba. Thank you for tuning in. And tune in tomorrow night. So please tune in tomorrow night and catch Bonabod Bible Breakdowns tomorrow starting at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time or Texas Time. So with that, my name is Mashaba. Thank you for enduring and being patient with me during this class. I'm going to say shalom.
Hail Israel.